Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lee and Keys Real Talk, back with another episode. I have no idea what number it is, and it's partially irrelevant to us, or entirely irrelevant to us, so we just keep rocking. One number I do know about is 278, which is this weekend, Usman versus Leon Edwards 2, the rematch. Doesn't seem like there's too much hype about that fight. A lot of people on Twitter have been saying, like, unless he's fighting, you know, Masvidal or Kobe Covington, that Usman's fights really aren't big. I think probably the next time that you'll see people getting hyped for an Usman fight will probably be if he ends up fighting Khamzat Chimaev, which we don't really know if that's going to happen with the way Usman's been talking. And Chimaev has even been talking. He's even saying that if Usman moves, he's going to move to 185 and try to go, you know, fight for that belt. So I don't know if either guy is going to be fighting that welterweight after both of their next fights. So I have no idea. But, yeah, what's going on, man? Lee, you're here. Let's rock, bro. How you doing?
Hold on. So Usman talking about moving up?
Yeah, Usman has been saying, like, the past, like, he's been saying it, like, all summer, I feel like, that, you know, he feels like, you know, he's kind of insinuated that he's pretty much beaten everybody at welterweight. And he didn't, like, say, I've beaten everybody, but he kind of has made it sound like that, which... whatever. And yeah, he's definitely, I mean, there's a picture with him and Jan Blachowicz kind of facing off at, I think it was at 276, they faced off, or 277 backstage. And yeah, the division he's talking about is 205. He wants to move up. He wants to skip 185 because, you know, he wouldn't want to have to fight Adesanya because they're like best friends. And he wants to skip that division and move up to 205 and challenge for that, you know, challenge guys up there.
Wow. That's a big jump from 170 to 205. But if you look at 205, 205 really ain't stout the way it used to be. You know, really who really up there? You got Yuri, you got Rockets, you got Jan, and then basically it falls off after that. But no, your boy, the dude that just won, he fight at 205. Don't McKinney fight at 205?
No, McKinney fights at 155.
Okay. Nah, that's somebody else that fight at 205 that fought this
weekend. You think about Jamal Hill.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But outside of that, 205 really kind of light. So I could see him moving up to 205. But how well he'll do, that's a whole different ball game. But it can't look past Edwards, bro. He got to get through this weekend. And then, I guess, but my thing is, why not fight Khamzat? And then that way you leave no doubt that you was the welterweight king. Beat him and then move up. You know what I'm saying? I think if he beat Khamzat, I would have no problem with him moving up.
Yeah, because at that point, he's pretty much taken enough fights in the division where it's like if he wanted to, you know, go check out another division, I wouldn't be mad at that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because to me it sounds maybe I might be overcritical right here, but it sounds to me like he's running from the Khamzat fight. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, the guy that's what everybody talking about to be your next. If you get past Edwards, who your next contender is, and you're talking about changing divisions. So to me, it seems like he's running from him, although I think he would beat him. So we'll see how it all plays out. He got to get through this weekend first, though.
Which is kind of weird because, like, Usman's really good, too, man. I don't really know how he personally feels. I know he said that he feels like Khamzat really hasn't beaten the guys that he feels like he needs to see him beat for him to fight him. I know he said that. Usman said that, you know, he said it a few times, but I think it was more earlier this year when, you know, around the time Khamzat last fought, and he said, like, okay, he beat Burns. Like, that's, you know, he's starting to do what you know, what I want to see out of him. But, you know, you still got, you know, Vicente Luque was there. He just got knocked out, obviously. But, you know, you have Bilal Muhammad, all these guys, Sean Brady, who's still undefeated. Like, this fight that he wants to see him take. I don't know, bro. It's kind of weird. I don't know. That's like losing so, like, I don't think there's a better fighter. I don't think there's a better fighter at 205 than Kamaru Usman. I don't. I mean, the only thing that would worry me with him being up there is the power of those guys. The difference in him getting hit by a 205er versus getting hit by a welterweight. Like, that would be the difference. Like, I'm sure he's sparring with bigger guys. Like, I'm sure Usman's probably wrestled with heavyweights. Like, he's probably a bigger guy, you know, walking around weight. I'm sure he spars with, you know, light heavyweights and middleweight bigger dudes all the time, you know. But when he's in there and, like, if he gets caught with a shot, like, from a light, I don't know, man. I don't know because, like, you just know that, like, Jan Blachowicz is not – like, how much do you think Jan Blachowicz weighs in the cage? Like, he's weighing in at 205, but I think we all know he doesn't weigh 205 when he's in the octagon. How much do you think he weighs when he gets in there?
Probably about, so you say weighs in at 205, high drinks, I say around about 220, 225.
Yeah, so that's what worries me. Like, if Usman's getting hit by that kind of power, it would just worry me about him getting knocked out. That would be the only thing for me, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he got hit with a shot from Gilbert Burns, and he was on chicken legs. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what if he gets hit with, you know, the same shot from Jan Blachowicz or Jamal Hill? You know what I'm saying? Like, guys that – these dudes put people out, bro. Those, like, heavyweights.
He got rocked by Kobe. He got rocked by Kobe.
By who?
By Kobe Covington. you remember in the second fight, Kobe hit him and he kind of got he did the stanky leg for a quick minute. He got rocked by Kobe too. So, I mean, I'm with you though. It's like these guys at 205 do have heavy hands. And can you carry their weight if you get taken down? Because they're gonna be a lot bigger. So, and then with him putting on weight, how's that gonna affect his speed? You know, I mean, I ain't saying that he the fastest guy, but you know. When you put on weight, it does take away some of your speed. So I wouldn't rush to move to 205. I just don't like it right now. I just don't like the optics of it because it just – I could be off base, but it just seems to me like he's running from Khamzat if he goes up to 205. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, one thing that – I was watching Nate Diaz's interview. I don't know if you saw it. But Nate Diaz, probably about a month, maybe a month and a half ago, maybe even a month ago, he did an interview with Ariel Helwani. And Nate was saying that he pointed this out, and I never realized this. Like, it just didn't hit me, bro. Like, if you look at – because Nate was saying – because this was when they didn't have a fight for him yet. And he was saying, like, how is it that – he made a good point. He said, how is it that, you know, they can't get me a fight and, you know, they're trying to, they're trying to lowball me, you know, they're trying to lowball me with, you know, just trying to, with, I think he was saying with pay and like as if he's not, you know, one of the biggest names, if not, you know, the biggest name. And two, just trying to keep on, like, making him fight these up-and-coming guys like Khamzat. And it's like, at first, I don't think Nate wanted the Khamzat fight. He's like, why do I have to fight always, like, why are you always, like, they're always trying to, like, build guys off of me. Like, they're always trying to, like, give guys title shots off of beating me. And it's like, if you have to beat me every time to get a title shot, where's my respect? Like, I'm always the guy that you have to beat to get a title shot in any division. In any division. So he's like, if I'm that guy, then how am I not being respected as such? You know what I'm saying? How am I not getting what I'm asking for if I'm that guy? And when you look back, I didn't even realize it. I want to say, like, I mean, he beat Pettis. I'm talking about, like, every guy that has beaten Nate pretty much in his last, like, I mean, there's many of them. I don't know if it's consecutive, but he named off, like, four or five guys that got title shots off of a win off of him immediately after. You look at it, it's like, look at the last couple, just in the last couple of years. I mean, Conor McGregor beats him in the rematch, got a title shot. Who was after that? Jorge Masvidal beats him in the initial. Yeah, Jorge Masvidal beats him in the initial fight. Gets two title shots actually. And then who was after that? I actually forgot about that fight. I forgot they even fought. Leon Edwards is now getting a title shot off of beating Nate Diaz, and that's just three guys. He named off a few. He named off a few that were earlier on in the UFC. You know, like the previous era and the previous era. Like I want to say from his 155 days. He named off a few guys. I forget who it was at that time. But, but I couldn't believe it, bro. This dude named off four, five, six names that got title shots off of a win over him. And I'm like, damn, bro. And here they are. And look at this. And look at this. Where are we at now? They're doing the same thing. You tell me that if Hamzat beats Nate at wherever that is being held at, that he's not getting the title shot?
Yeah, man, because let me see. He fought Leon Edwards, Masvidal, Connor. Was it RDA? Was RDA another guy that got a title shot after him? After he fought him, maybe, in 2014. Because there's some names up here, bro. I want to say Donald Cerrone got a title shot in 2011 after he fought Nate, and he lost to RDA or Benson Henderson, one of them. So, yeah, man. Nate got a point, bro. Nate got a point. Wow.
Yeah, it's like if I'm that guy, and clearly I am because here you are doing it again with Hamzat, it's like, you know, Hamzat could have fought many other guys. You know, they could have set him up with Sean Brady. You could have had undefeated versus undefeated. You didn't have to do Bilal Muhammad. You could have had Bilal Muhammad fight a different, you know, you could have had Bilal Muhammad wait and fight Jeff Neal or one of these guys. You know, you could have done undefeated versus undefeated, but for some reason, there's something about Nate that they're like, oh, yeah, this is the fight, you know? So it's like, I mean, if he wins there, you gotta expect that they're going to try to give him a shot at the 170. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think the UFC is putting Nate in fights they know that the chances of him winning – might be slim to none because of how difficult he is to work with as far as, you know, getting him fights and getting him to sign off fights? You think the UFC is putting him in matchups so that they think, okay, since he want to fight, let's put him in there with somebody, this guy that we think will beat him.
Yeah, almost like punishing him for, you know, being the way he is, you know, oh, this guy's really difficult, gives us a hard time. It's like, so now it's like, oh, let's give him this, you know, absolute monster. I mean, but at the same time, that's kind of the way, that's been Nate's MO, you know, for the past couple of years too. I mean, who is he really? He's kind of always like stepped up to fight, you know, pretty much the best guys. You know, he's always wanted, you know, the biggest name at that time, or, you know, the guy who's, like, right there for the belt, or the guy, you know what I mean, like Leon Edwards, like a guy who's one of the best, like, top five. Like, I want to say when they got the Leon fight, Nate had asked for a top five fight, and that's how that one ended up happening. He said, you know, he wanted a top five guy at welterweight, and that's how that panned out. He always, I mean, so I think it's a little of both. I think maybe, you know, it could be that they, you know, Dana's, maybe even subconsciously, I don't even know if they realize it, but, you know, you're kind of putting him in there with, you know, Nate's like 37, 38, I think he's 37, and Hamzat is, I think, 28 or 29, like, early in the game, bro. Hamzat, you know, might have not even hit his prime yet. You know what I'm saying? And Nate's already been in all these fights. It's like, really? Like, that's the fight? I don't know, bro. I think it could be a little bit of both. I mean, Nate wanting to have the, you know, wanting to take the, you know, toughest guys or the guys that, you know, other guys they're scared of. And then at the same time, you know, a little bit of the business side of, oh, let's, you know, give him a hard time because he wants to give us a hard time. And it's the last fight in his contract.
Yeah. But, you know, we're talking about Nate, right? Let me throw out the list of names that's got him for it. Man, you always talk about the level of competition that you face. Gray Maynard three times, Josh Neer, Clay Guida, Melvin Gilliard, Dong Young Kim, Rory McDonald, Takanori Gomi, Donna Cerrone, Jim Miller, Bessa Henderson, RDA, Michael Johnson, Connor, Anthony Pettis, Masvidal, Edwards, and now you about to throw in Khamzat. So this guy has fought basically all the top guys in this division. So you can't give him – I see why he asking for a big name to fight, because if they was to give him somebody that we know he should beat, then we saying the UFC would throw him a softball. So, I like the Khamzat fight, but that's only if Nate come in and has a game plan and fights to win, man. Because sometimes I think Nate coming there just to get a paycheck and he just like to fight, but it just seems like he don't have a game plan to me. So he gonna definitely need a game plan in this fight. But yeah, man, this guy fought the who's who in mixed martial arts in his division, bro. Damn, that's crazy.
I mean, he probably has, I mean, at least arguably, one of the best, if not the best resume. You know, I'd say one of the best. I'm not going to go crazy and say arguably the best resume, but he definitely has one of the best resumes, because he always, you know, he'll fight guys multiple times. You know, like you said, Gray Maynard three times. He fought Connor twice. Like, he's, you know, I feel like still willing to fight him a third time. And it's, you know, there are even fights at welterweight I still want to see for Nate. You know, I want to see him and Gilbert Burns go. That's one I would love to see. I think they might be homies, but I still wouldn't mind seeing it. And I even would kind of want to see Diaz and Robbie Lawler go. And I'm kind of surprised that we never got that one. I don't believe we ever got that.
No, we got Robbie Lawler versus brother. And that was at a catchweight.
Yeah, because if you look at that, I mean, when I think about Nate Diaz versus Robbie Lawler, that almost sounds like a rematch. Like, I swear that fight already happened with Nate.
No, he never fought Robbie Lawler. I was just looking at his record. His brother fought Robbie Lawler.
When you look at Robbie Lawler, it's like, that just seems like a guy who, you know, he would want to fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because
Robbie's a scrapper. Robbie's going to, you know, he's going to fight you as long as he can. It's like,
yep,
they're both, you know, so tough. It's like, that's the kind of guy that you would expect Nate to, like, get excited to fight. You know what I'm saying? That's like one of those ones that I would expect him to love that. I mean, and speaking of, Robbie's fighting Ponzinibbio. You see that? Robbie's fighting Ponzinibbio in December.
Wow. I don't even know how I feel about Robbie still fighting. I don't know how I feel about him still fighting, dog.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I like the way – I really didn't think he looked good versus Nick Diaz. A lot of people said that they thought they both looked good. I didn't think either one of them looked good. I thought it looked like they were fighting in slow motion. They looked like they were fighting underwater or something to me. I was like, is anybody else seeing this? Like, that's the best way to describe it. It looked like – bro. No.
Hey, man, that fight was hard to watch, bro. That fight was really hard to watch.
Yo, run that on the run that on Twitter after the show, man. You're gonna quote me. It looked like they were, man. It looked like Robbie and Nick Diaz were fighting underwater, bro. Like those dudes were, they jumped in a pool, bro, and they just started swinging underwater. Them two dudes were fighting in the swimming pool. That's crazy.
The crazy part is when they announced that fight, I think neither one of us was excited about that fight. I was excited to see Nick back, but man, he been out. Well, he had been out 5 years, and it looked like he had been out 10 years. And Robbie just, oh man. I was just like, man, please end this. Please let this fight end, please. But, yeah, man. Hey, but, yeah. Hey, before we jump into 278, I got to ask you about Vera versus Cruz. Now, I think me and you going to say the same thing, but I'm going to let you go first. What did you think of the fight?
Now, I'll tell you this, bro. Cruz put on a hell of a performance. Cruz looked incredible. I was very happy with the way he looked. Now, I did not think that, you know, he looked aged or anything. Like, I thought he looked fine. Like, I thought he was in there the whole time. Yeah, obviously, the only thing that was different about him is that, it, you know, his chin. You know, the chin wasn't there because it was like when he was getting caught, you know, and Cheeto was landing, you know, shot a big shot on him, because Cheeto was kind of like hunting him down, you know, the whole fight. He was kind of – Cheeto was kind of reminding me of like the way Deontay Wilder looks in a lot of his boxing fights. Like he's kind of just standing in front of you and just kind of – yeah, he was reminding me of Deontay Wilder. Like it was just – he was kind of stalking Cruz and just kind of taking the punches. And he would try to like throw a few of his own, but he wasn't really effective. It was, but you could just tell that he wasn't really trying to – at least in my opinion, I don't think he was trying to beat Cruz by decision. I think he knew that was going to be, I would think, a guy would probably never admit this, but I think he knew that was probably going to be unlikely that he could do that, especially if Cruz came and showed up, and which he did. It's going to be very hard to beat Cruz on a scorecard because he's hard to even find, especially if you're a striker. It's like, okay, you know, Cheeto's going to come in with a striking style. Cruz is so elusive. He's so hard to find. You know what I mean? His head movement, he's constantly, like, switching stance. He's constantly throwing feints. Like, Cruz, if people online are saying that he's not still one of the best strikers in the UFC, you're out of your mind. You are out of your mind so bad. Like, and I don't even know where you would come up with that. Like, I don't even know how you could even say that. Like, Cruz is definitely still one of the best strikers, if not the best striker, bro. The only thing you could really put against that is that there's other strikers who have had, you know, titles more recently, like, you know, Peter Yan or someone like this, who, I mean, Conor, when's the last time his striking, when's the last time Conor put on a, you know, a clinic like that against the top guy? I mean, really, so you can't really, I would put Cruz over Conor, you know, I would put Cruz over Dustin. I mean, we just saw Dustin. You know, Dustin hasn't really – he's been getting hit. I mean, we saw Dustin and Dan Hooker. Dustin was getting hit all night. And obviously he beat Conor, but Conor's not really who he was. I mean, I think Cruz – before I get, like, away from my point, I think Cruz is still one of the best strikers in the UFC. He looked incredible. That was a great performance. I hope that he's not down on himself about that loss. You know what I mean? Because – man, it almost gets me emotional, bro. I hope he's not down on himself about that loss, because when you look so good and you still come up short, it's like you did everything possible to win that fight. And if it were to go to the cards, you would have won that easily. Like, that would have been probably, I mean, for me, that was probably going towards like a 50-46, I would probably say. I don't think Cheeto got more than one round. You know what I mean? No way. I don't think. I mean, because Cruz had, I probably had a 2-1 Cruz. I think Cheeto, like, I don't really know. The third is kind of debatable. I'm not really sure. You could have had a 3-0 Cruz, or I could have had a 2-1 Cheeto, because I remember Cheeto, like, having more success in the third. But I would have to watch it back and really tell what was happening. But, I mean, obviously he had the knockdowns in the rounds, but I don't think one knockdown in a round is defeats, like, you getting, you know, boxed
exactly.
to death for yep. 5 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was getting outboxed very badly. Like, he was getting devastated, you know what I'm saying? Like, Cruz was dog-walking
yeah.
him. I'm sorry. Like, and I'm a Marlon Vera fan, bro. I've been watching him for, like, 5-6 years. He was one of the first guys when I came back to watching the UFC. He was one of the first guys when I came back to watching the UFC that I really, like, that caught my eye. I was like, who's this guy Vera, bro? Because he was unranked. You know, I was watching probably a fight night card, and I'm like, who's this guy Vera, bro? Dude, the scrapper. That was back when, you know, before this, like, new look that he has. You know, that was back, you know, with his old hairstyles. You know, he looked very different back then. And but, yeah, I think, you know, Cruz was dominating that fight pretty much. Obviously, Cheeto had a couple, you know, really good knockdowns. Some people said, like, oh, why didn't he jump on him? But, I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you why. I don't know what. Maybe he was afraid of, you know, going to the ground with Cruz. I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. I couldn't really tell you. I mean, he's a fighter. I don't know. But he didn't. And, you know, he caught him with that shot. That was a very good shot, bro. He went. It looked like he faked the right jab. So then Cruz would kind of, you know, to the right of Cruz. You know, so he throws the left jab. So Cruz is right side. Cheeto fakes the left jab, I think it was, the left jab. So then Cruz naturally... you know, he kind of slides to out of the way of the shot, and then he kind of went low. He slid out of the way of the shot very quickly. It was, you know, never going to land. But I think Cheeto knew that, and he's like, all right, so I'm going to fake the left. I'm going to throw the left jab. He's going to slide out of the way of it, and then I'm going to have a head kick coming on the opposite end, and he's going to be so focused on the left jab and what I'm doing, and not knowing there's a head kick coming the opposite way. That was like. I've done, like, you see that type of shit in, like, the UFC video games, bro. Like, I've hit guys with a lot of moves like that in UFC 3. And, like, you don't really see guys getting hit with that kind of move these days. Like, that was some tactical shit from Cheeto. So, I give him a lot of credit.
That's the same way John Jones caught DC. When he caught DC, he caught him the same way. But I was with you. I had Dominique winning the fight 3-0. If Dominique would have survived the fourth round, I probably would have gave the fourth round to Vera. But it was one thing Dominique was doing when I was watching the fight. I was like, yo, he got to start dipping his head when he goes to dip out. I was like, because at one time I was noticing he was always dipping out to the right. I was like, oh, he keep dipping out to the right. I was like, Vera should be picking up on that. And then in that one round, when he decided to dip out to the left, he get caught. But I thought Cruz looked good. I actually had him winning the fight. I didn't like the way Vera was fighting. A guy like Dominique Cruz, you can't come in there looking to land one shot. Because his head movement, his foot movement, the way he punched, the way he gets in and out, one shot ain't going to get it done. I mean, he got it done with a kick. But he was getting dominated in all other rounds of the fight. So, Cruz, if there's anything, I mean, I don't want to say he got a lucky win because, you know, it do take some skills. But I don't think if he doesn't catch Dominique, he loses this fight probably 3-2, maybe 4-1. But I like Cruz. I like the way he looked. I think he can – he just – He has to start dipping his head when he's moving away. Because if you go back and watch that fight, look how he will always dip to Marlon's right and to his left. I was like, come on, man. If I could see this, I know Vera see it. And then the one time he dipped to the left, dog, got caught. But I thought it was a good fight. I thought Cruz did everything to win the fight. I don't want to see Cruz versus Frankie Edgar. Let Cruz probably fight somebody else. I don't know who yet. I'm not looking at the rankings in that division yet. But have Cruz fight somebody else. It's just, I hate to see a guy fight a good fight. Just to come up short in the end, But that's just the way the fight game goes, man. Is you could do everything to win the fight and wait one mistake and lose the fight. And I always go back to my boy Chael Sonnen. He did everything to win the fight against Anderson Silva and made one mistake. So, Dominique Cruz, who would I want to see him fight next? Would I want to see him fight Rob Font, or do I want to see him fight the winner of Marab versus Jose? I'd rather see him fight the winner of Marab and Jose Aldo. I would rather see him fight those guys, either fight the winner or the loser. That's what I wouldn't mind. But, you know, we'll see how it goes, man. But look, man, let's get the people what they want,
And let me just hit you with one more thing. And I'll talk a little about who I'd like Cruz. I'll touch on who I'd want Cruz to fight, you know, and Cheeto and everything. I'll touch on that next week when I'm back from PA. But the Pennsylvania. So the one thing that I want to ask you is, did you hear Marlon Vera lost, you know, a chunk of my respect, bro? He really did. I didn't watch the clip, so, you know, I'm guilty of kind of like headline reading with this, what I'm about to say. But, you know, maybe he said it differently, you know what I mean? And I didn't get the full context. But the way that the Mac Life, I think it was, made the way the headline read was that at the post-fight presser, Cheeto said that the way Dominic Cruz fights, his style is very low level. And I would just say that I think he needs to humble himself. Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I think.
First of all, that is just asinine and dumb. Dominique Cruz beat Demetrius Johnson twice, beat Uriah Faber basically into retirement. Man, you can't say that about Dominique Cruz. That guy's style has opened up doors for like Corey Sandhagen, you know, other guys to come in and do what he does. So, nah, man, that guy's fight ain't low level. To me, that's winner's gloating, something that he's saying only because he won the fight. But the only reason he won the fight is because, like I said, I don't like to say this, but he got lucky. He caught him. Because if the fight goes five rounds, Cheeto Vera loses that fight, maybe, like you said, 50-46, you know. Maybe one judge gives him one round. So, man, cut that out, dog. Man, don't do that, man. That's just, yeah, man, I don't like that.
And so what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm trying to look up exactly what it was that he said in the post-fight. He said, yeah, the headline from the Mac Life reads, "I think the way Dominic Cruz fights is very low level." So, the thing that's even more hilarious about that, you got to humble himself because, bro, the fact that I was watching you and you looked like Deontay Wilder, that's not a great critique, bro. That's not a great style. So you saying low level is that's jokes is what that is. That I'm like, you look like you should put a clown face on. You know, after saying that, dog, really, put a clown face on, because what have you done that looks high level? Really, where have you looked high level anywhere? You know what I'm saying? Oh, what, you kicked Sean O'Malley in the legs a couple times? Is that his highlight reel moment? Or is it you getting dog walked by, you know, 37, 38-year-old Dominic Cruz for four rounds before you landed a fucking lucky head kick? Like, is that what that is, bro? Is that his, you know, high-level style is getting dog walked? Getting completely dominated for four rounds. He might have even gone 50-45 in that fight. He might have gone 50-45, and at best, he probably would have gone 50-46, and it would have been unanimous. Sad boy. What is he talking about, Marlon Vera? When has he looked high level ever? Against the tomato cans when he was unranked? He looked dangerous. I'm sure a lot of guys look dangerous when you're fighting those guys, but he hasn't shown me anything since. He lost to Aldo. Aldo made you look crazy. You're not going to beat him. So
He lost his song Young Dawn.
You lost the song Young Dawn, and it's like you just got dominated by a guy who's literally pretty much at the tail end of his career, bro. You're 29 years of age. You just caught a guy that's 37, and he just beat the shit out of you, man, for four rounds. He beat the shit out of you. It was so bad. Like, he was getting you were getting absolutely dominated. It's so funny, dominated. Dom Cruz dominated. You know what I mean? That was a bar. You know what I mean? Keys is freestyling right now. I'm giving you free bars. You know what I'm saying? Like, four rounds. You know what I mean? 37 years of age. He was beating the brakes off you, man. So for you to call that low level, if you're going to say someone's low level, that's already disrespectful anyways to say in MMA after you fight a guy especially. You should be showing respect after you fight a guy, not trying to diss him after you fight a guy. That's the worst. When you're leading up to the fight, I can understand guys want to be competitive. You might trash talk a little bit. Don't take it too far, but, you know, you might want to trash talk a little bit. But then after you fight, that's when you show respect, bro. Even Colby Covington, you see him talk the most trash. Colby Covington's over there showing Usman mad respect after that fight in Madison Square Garden. You've seen him walking up and Usman looked kind of like ready to fight or something when the ref was there, and Covington was actually trying to, like, say some real shit. I don't know what he said, but it was like he was trying to, like, embrace and be like, good shit, you know what I mean, for after the fight. Usman, I mean, doesn't expect that because, you know, what has he experienced with Covington? It's understandable, but, you know, if he can even do that, it's like, bro, you gotta take – I think Malandrea's got to take a look around, bro. You got to read the room, man, especially when, you know, you're getting beat down, you know, for the entire fight, and then you land a shot at the end. You know what I'm saying? You pretty much had a Hail Mary knockout is what that was, you know, at the tail end of the fight. And that was like some Derek Lewis-style shit versus Volkov. And basically, you know, saying that guys are low level. Well, guess what? If he's very low level, then you're extremely low level because that very low level style was beaten. This man was beating the brakes off him. You know what I'm saying? If it's very low level, if you can't call a guy very low level unless you can beat him soundly. You cannot call him that unless you at least beat him soundly. And even then, you probably shouldn't even call him very low level after you beat a guy. You should, like I said, I like to see guys showing respect and be like, all right, good shit, that was a good fight. We guys just fought each other in a cage. It's like, don't go crazy after the fight. You guys just fought. It's over with. You know what I mean? That's it. So, but unless you're able to at least... And if you're going to do it, I still don't really want to see you do it, but if you're going to do it, make sure you're beating that guy soundly. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that there's not even a shadow of a doubt that you were going to beat that guy the entire fight from start to finish. You know what I'm saying? It's like the way Colby Covington beat Jorge Masvidal. Was there any doubt from the opening bell to the closing bell that he was dominating that fight? Like, was there any point that the tide turned?
No.
So unless you're gonna if he was gonna beat Dominic Cruz like that, you know, if he was gonna be that dominant, because that was probably the most, you know, no bias, no nothing. That was the most dominant performance I've seen in a long time. The way Kobe did Masvidal was bad. Like that was very bad. You know, that was the biggest. I can't think of the closest domination that I have seen that was worse than that. You know what I'm saying? I can't think of the last one that was that dominant. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, him saying very low level, bro. Cheeto, you got to humble yourself, dog. That's you wilding out here. That's the best way. You wilding out here. Dudes probably gave him, you know, a vodka Red Bull or, you know, whatever. He had some drinks in him after that press conference, I think. And I think he was drunk out there. He had to be because you sound drunk talking like that. You know, you got beat up for 20 minutes, bro. It's like, what? Anyways, that's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, crazy, man. It's guys that don't know how to take winning, man. You won the fight, all right? You won the fight. But to say that Dominic Cruz is a low-level fighter, bro, no, you can't do that, man. You got to look at the guys he done beat. Man, he came from WEC. He was a champion of WEC. Came to the UFC and was champion again. And basically, only thing that derailed his career is injuries. It ain't his lack of skill. His lack of skill that derailed his career is injuries. Man, that's why, Keith, sometimes some of these guys, man, when they get behind the microphone, it's just so disingenuous what they say out of their mouth, man. It's like, I really can't take you seriously, but congratulations on you winning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much what I, you know, because I was like all power to him, you know, respect, you know, Cheeto, that was a great win, you know, very smart, you know, timed, you know, maneuvered, whatever, but it's just like you said, that takes away, you know what I mean, that definitely takes away, bro, it really does, but anyways, UFC 278, we gotta get these predictions in before, you know, before the nightfall, before we hit that time. So, UFC 278, here we go. Want me to pull the card up? Or you got it?
I'm pulling it up, man.
Where?
Because I was looking at Marlon Vera's. I was looking at like his, looking at the people he done fought. And, yeah, man, you got to be humble, dog. Don't do the greats like that. I don't care if you're talking trash about Sean O'Malley. That's cool. But don't talk trash about Dominique Cruz, low level fighter, really? Wow, that's crazy. All right, man, where you want to start at?
Let's just hit the main card, I think, unless there's like a really dope like prelim main event that you like, because you know in the interest of time, we'll probably just rock. What's the prelim main event?
Marcin Tybura versus Alexander Romanov. I think that's heavyweight,
yeah. Yeah, I'd probably say let's just rock with the first fight in the main card. That's probably I think that's a good way to go for us.
Well, I ain't going to lie. In this first fight on the main card, Tyson Pedro versus Harry Hunsucker. Tyson Pedro is a minus 800. Hunsucker is a plus 550. Pedro is 8-3. Hunsucker is 7-5. I really don't know neither one of these guys. So, you go ahead. Tell me what you got.
I mean, I'll tell him this. Like, I want to say Tyson Pedro is kind of like a jiu-jitsu guy. I feel like he likes to work on. I want to say he likes to work on the ground. He was undefeated at one point. I feel like a couple of years ago he was like more talked about, and I was because we definitely talked about him on this show, but it was years ago because he kind of like, you know, was building some hype for a while. He was winning fights, and then I feel like. I don't know if he, like, became inactive or, like, he just kind of, like, fell off. I don't know what happened, but I just, like, stopped hearing about him. I haven't even seen him on a card, and I don't even remember the last time I seen him on a card. But
He fought this year.
Okay, so, yeah, he's in the mix somewhere. But, yeah, Tyson Pedro, he's there. The Hunsucker guy, I've only ever seen him fight Taito Iwasa. I don't really know anything about him. I just remember him. Yeah, I just remember seeing, like, Taito Iwasa. I think Taito Iwasa knocked him up. I think that might have been Hunsucker's first fight in the UFC. They're kind of giving this dude a tough road to even get in, bro. Like, how are you going to give a guy a Taito Iwasa in his first fight? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of crazy. Like, if you're a heavyweight, like, you got to fight that dude. Like, that's kind of scary.
This fight at 205.
Oh, it's at 205.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think we're just going to have to watch this one because I really don't know enough about either guy to really tell you. And especially where they're moving down to light heavyweight, I don't know if that's going to look better on – I feel kind of awkward saying his name, but if that's going to look weird on Harry or if it's going to – if 205 is going to fit well on him or if it's going to be worse and you're going to be drained, I don't know how that'll look. So, yeah, we'll just have to
–
for me, I'm not going to predict
Well, Hunsucker going to lose three of his last five fights.
Yeah, so – Let's just, I'm going to just say I'm watching it. I'm actually not watching it because I'll be at a wedding, but won't be able to watch it. But, yeah, that's one that I'm just going to let that rock.
Yeah, I'm going to say if I had to pick, I would probably say Pedro because the UFC probably thinks Pedro is probably an up-and-coming star. That's why they have him in this position. So I'm going to say they probably wrote that the UFC likes Tyson, what they see in Tyson Pedro. Over what they see in Harry Hunsucker, plus Hunsucker has lost three of his last five fights, and one of his fights is at heavyweight. So, what are we doing? He's moving down to light heavyweight. So, that's kind of a hard transition to go from almost being able to weigh 265 to now basically you can go as low as, you know, 205. So Pedro probably the guy that they hyping up. Then we got two young ladies who I don't know who they are. You got Wu Yanan at 12-5 versus Lucy Petalova at 13-7. In the women's bantamweight division, I'm gonna say we're just gonna roll with. We're just gonna watch this one. Hopefully, it's a good fight. So then we get to basically the people's co-main event, but we're gonna skip that one and we're gonna go to Paulo Costa versus Luke Rockhold. Costa is a -330 favorite. Rockhold is +260. Man, for a guy that has gotten his jaw broken in his last couple fights, why would you come back and take a fight against a guy that hits just as hard as everybody else? All right, Keys, who you got in this fight?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I had faith in Rockhold for a long time. And you know, I remember even doubting Jan Błachowicz, you know, when they fought and saying, nah, Rockhold, this is him coming back. He's coming back, you know, to fight 205 and all this. But nah, man, I think, you know, like you would say, his better days are probably behind him. I think, you know, he came back into probably, you know, one of the worst matchups for how chinny he is. I think Paulo Costa knocks him out unconscious, bro. I think, you know, he's probably not making it past, you know, two rounds in there. I don't think, you know, he's probably not making it two rounds. I'll probably go, I think Paulo Costa might even knock him out in the first round, to be honest. This might be like a very short fight. That's what I'm predicting. I think Costa, I'm going to say first round knockout. You know, it's going to be like, you know, and I think after we're going to be saying like, all right, like I think it's time. Like Rockhold, you know, you need to, you got to hang him up, bro. Like I don't know, either that or he gets become a wrestler. Or I don't know what he's going to, I mean, because he is a good wrestler, you know, he actually is good, but he just always does like the striking style, and that's the point that he needs to kind of hone in more on the wrestling. Like he has the wrestling, but he just always likes to stand and bang, and then he just gets knocked out, especially for guys that are that powerful. It's like, why was he, you know, why are you standing in front of Jan Błachowicz? Like, you're a middleweight that moved up to 205. So, like, you know, my younger self 3 years ago, like, wasn't as articulate with that and didn't really have that, this, you know, this kind of, like, objective, you know, analysis when I'm looking at it. But, you know, if I saw that same fight today, I'm like, yo, why is Rockhold standing in front of Jan Błachowicz? He's a middleweight that moved up to 205. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing? You know, one of the hardest hitters in the division, what are you doing? And he got knocked out. So he got knocked out by Yoel Romero too. So it's like, I don't know, man. He keeps wanting to fight like the toughest punches. I just think he's going down again round one.
Yeah, I think he loses this fight. I'm gonna be a little bit more respectful to him, and I'm gonna say he gets knocked out in the second round. He's lost three of his last five fights by KO. He lost in the first round to Bisping, second round to Błachowicz, third round to Yoel, and he beat Chris Weidman, I have little to no respect for, and David Branch, who isn't even in the UFC anymore. So I'm going with Costa to win this fight. I'm going to say he gets it done in the second round. I'm going to say second round KO. I say Rockhold probably has some moments. But if he doesn't take Costa down, he has zero chance because we all know his chin is suspect. And I think his fighting style is kind of out of date. You know, his style used to be like, something that we was like, yeah, man, he got kind of a, you know, slick little style, like the same way we talk about Dominique Cruz. But when you don't have a chin, don't matter what kind of style you got, because most UFC fighters, top-notch UFC fighters, going to figure out your timing. And once they figure out your timing, it's all over. And I think Luke Rocco gets ran into retirement. He goes back into modeling, and I think this will be his last fight in the UFC. Okay, the People's co-main event. You got the all-time great Jose Aldo, 31-7, plus 110, going against me and Key's boy, Murad Divansevili, 14-4 at minus 130. Who you got, Keys?
Well, you know, I've, you know, in the past year or so, year or two, whatever it's been, you know, I've really changed my prediction style. I've kind of gone more from, you know, I used to bet and predict with my heart on a regular basis. But now, you know, nowadays it's become, I'm always like very, you know, not statistical, but I look at like the facts of a fight, you know what I mean? I try to be as realistic as possible and not, you know, take my heart out of the equation. If I feel a guy I like is going to lose, then I'm just going to try to do my best to just admit that. And, you know, for a little bit earlier, I was thinking about my prediction for this, you know, and I, you know, part of me, like the voice in my head said, you know, what if you're doing that with Murad, but what if he's just not good enough to beat Aldo, you know what I'm saying? And a voice told me that in my head, and he was like, damn, like, don't pick with your heart, Keys, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you might pick Murad because you want to see him win, but is he good enough to beat Aldo? So what I'm going to say is this. I think Aldo's looked great. I think Aldo's looked great. Lately, you know, he's looked like one of the most unstoppable fighters. I mean, obviously, nobody's unstoppable, but you know what I mean. He's looked phenomenal. You know, he looks like, you know, he's having a resurgence. You know what I mean? He looks, Aldo's one of the only guys, you know, left from that time period, and you wouldn't even really know he was from that time period, honestly, because he looked so good. Ever since he went to 135, I feel like he's looked really good. You know what I'm saying? If you really look at all his performances, he looked good in all of them at 135. And I think that was a good thing for him. But, you know, what I will say at the same time is that I do think Murad's good enough to beat him. That's what I'm going to say. I do think Murad's good enough to beat him. Aldo is going to have one of those, you know, he's going to be able to stop the takedowns, and he's going to have one of those performances to beat Murad. That's what I'll say. And even with having one of those performances, it's still up in the air. You know what I'm saying? I think Murad's a beast. You know, I think he's going to be champ, you know, at you know, summer 23 to, you know, Q3, Q4, 2023. I think that's his timeline for the belt. And I think he's good enough to be champ. So, you know, I definitely think he could beat Aldo. You know, Aldo's going to have to be at his best, like he's looked lately. And he's going to have to stop all the takedowns. You know, because Murad definitely, I don't think Murad's just going to go in with, you know, with his striking style. I think, you know, we'll see some shots from him. You know what I mean? Not just shots. I mean, he's going to shoot. I would like to see him use. I would like to see him use his sambo. You know what I mean? He's a sambo world champion. Excuse me. Sambo world champion. So, yeah, I think Murad's good enough to beat him, bro. I think it's gonna go. I don't think Murad will stop him, bro. I think this is a decision fight. Is this a 3-round fight?
This is a 3-round fight because it is the. It's not the co-main. So it's a 3-round
yeah,
fight.
Yeah, so I'm going with. Right, so I'm going with Murad to win by unanimous decision. That's how I'm going. I just think he's gonna come at his best. He's gonna be in there. Aldo's gonna. I don't know how he's gonna look. I don't know. I assume he'll look like how he looked, but all I know is he has to look how he's looked. I feel like if he doesn't come with, you know, the level of performance that he's been having in the last, you know, three or so fights, he's not beating Murad. That's what I'll say. You know what I mean? At this point in his career, you know, Murad's still on the come up. Aldo's been to the top of the mountain. He was there for a long time. He was there for a decade. He's been to the top of the mountain. I mean, he's nearing the top of the mountain again, but Murad's never been to the top of the mountain in the UFC, you know, or Aldo was WBC champion. He hasn't had, you know, titles in those organizations. He hasn't been to the top of the UFC. So the hunger, you know, I mean, you got to figure it's different. I think he can do enough to beat Aldo, and I think he does. I think unanimous decision. I think we see some takedowns from Murad. I think Aldo tries to stop him, but I don't think you can stop all of them, you know what I'm saying, where he has that striker and striking Sambo style, bro. Sambo is an offensive. I think that's what they call that. That's what, by definition, Sambo is like an offensive wrestling. Pretty sure that's how they call it. It's either offensive wrestling or offensive grappling. So it's meant to be mixed with striking, you know. And that's it's as far as you know my knowledge and as far as I know, it's meant to be mixed. And I feel like Merab really kind of fulfills that, you know. And I think where he's gonna do it here, if he's gonna shoot takedowns, I think he's got the fight, bro. I mean, it's not easy to outstrike Aldo. You know, if you just want to stand there and outstrike Aldo, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That would be, you know, the tougher route. But I think he's going to mix it up. I think he'll bring in his full arsenal. And I think he wins by unanimous decision. You know what I mean? I think there's going to be some good things said about Merab after this fight. And possibly even, you know.
I like Merab in this fight. The only thing that gives me cause to pause is the way he looked in that first round against Marlon Moraes. Marlon Moraes put hands on him. And he didn't respond well. But he came out in the second round, do what he did, and he got Moraes up out of there. But that first round does give me cause to pause. And then when I look at his record, he's not a finisher. Basically, since he's been in the UFC, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nah, he got 9 fights, and 7 of them has went to decision. So, being that he doesn't finish, guys, that means absolutely nothing because you can dominate somebody in a fight and still look as good without getting a finish. Merab, the one thing I like about him is that he can do it on the feet or on the mat. And when you can basically fight in all aspects, I love it. Do I think Jose Aldo can fight off his back? No. Do I think Merab is going to take him down? Yes. I think it's going to be who can force their will on their opponent? Can Jose keep Merab at bay with his jabs and his kicks, and can Merab Jose down, close the space, and make him fight in the phone booth? Being that I have Merab winning the belt in 2022, and I think about 2 shows back, I pushed it to 2023, I'm going to take Merab in this fight, but I'm going to respect Jose Aldo. I'm going to say Merab wins a close split decision fight. And I think Jose shows up with the heart of a champion, but he comes up just short because Merab will do some things in the third round that Jose has no answer for. And I like Merab pulling this fight out basically by split decision. I wish this fight were 5 rounds because then we will really see which guy is actually championship material. Because you go into the 4th and 5th rounds, that bring out a dog in you, you know, because basically you have to dig deep and you have to find ways to win a fight in the 4th and 5th round. So, being this a 3-rounder, I'm going to take Merab in the split decision. But I think it's going to be a tough fight. All right, we got the main event. We have Kamaru Usman versus Leon Edwards, part 2. I didn't see the first fight. Usman is 20-1. Leon Edwards is 19-3. Plus 310 for Edwards, minus 400 for Usman. Man. I think the bettors really have zero confidence. Well, hang on, it's 90 points, but I think they have zero confidence in Leon Edwards. So, all right, Keys, championship fight, who you got?
This is an easy one, bro. I got Usman. You know what I mean? I'm not. Usman's about to. Usman's about to beat that dude down, bro. He's about to beat him down. You know what I'm saying? The UK is about to be sad, bro. Birmingham's about to be sad, bro. He's about to get beat up good. And that's it. And that's just it. You know what I mean? Usman, I just think is he's a much more complete fighter, bro. What are we talking about? Like, what has Leon Edwards really done that has evolved with his style? Like, I didn't see that first fight, but I know that he's still pretty much the same fighter. I mean, what has he advanced that is going to beat Usman? Like, Usman said it at the press conference. What are you going to do to beat me? Like, that's really the question. It's like, okay, you basically, you're going to just outstrike him? It's like, Usman's a good boxer. He's a good striker these days, bro. He's not as easy to do as you think. You know what I mean? Leon Edwards don't, you know, Nate Diaz could have knocked out Leon Edwards, man. He caught him. He caught him with a shot. Usman's not, you know what I mean? You got to bring more than that to beat Usman, bro. He's too diverse. So I got Usman all day. I think, you know what, bro? I'm going to go out on a win, bro. I think Usman finishes him. I ain't even going to give you a decision, bro. I think Usman finishes that boy. I think he does. I think, you know what, bro? Man, I think Usman might choke him out, bro. I think so. I think Usman might choke him out. I think he might give him a little bit of boxing in early on. And then I think he might take his ass down. And I think he might tap him out, bro. Rear naked choke. I'm giving him like 3 rounds. We're going with the key special. But it's the cousin of the key special. It's a third round submission. It's not a third round TKO. It's the cousin. Third round submission. Usman. World champion. Once again. That's it.
I think this fight hinges on, can Leon Edwards show us something different in his style of fighting? He fights like old John Jones at welterweight. Basically, he's an elbow guy. He likes to be in and out. He fights southpaw, but elbows are his thing. But the thing with Usman is this. Usman, prior to winning the belt, he wasn't a good striker. But he could take you down and smother you on the mat. But since he's won the belt, his striking has become top level. His fight IQ done become top level. And he is very patient inside the octagon. He doesn't rush. He doesn't let his opponent speed him up. He like to do what he do in there and make you adjust to him. Man, I don't know how Leon Edwards can win this fight. But one thing that you said earlier gave me cause to pause about Usman, that he's already thinking about moving to another division. When I hear fighters talk like that, that kind of worries me when they going into a fight. If he would have said this after he fought Edwards, after he won, I would be cool with that. But Benny said it before, gives me cause to pause. But I'm with you. I think Usman wins this fight. I'm going to go with a fourth round TKO. I think Edwards hangs around just long enough. Well, I ain't going to say hangs around. I'm going to say Edwards survives the first 3 rounds, and then Usman puts it all together in the fourth round, and he wins by TKO. And hopefully, he calls out Khamzat or says that he wants to fight the winner of the Khamzat-Nate Diaz fight. But we know Usman normally doesn't do that. He's very humble in winning. He'll probably say he'll go back, talk to his team, talk to UFC, and see where everything is at. But if Khamzat beats Nate, I want to see Usman versus Khamzat, and then we go from there after that. But I think Usman wins this fight, bro.
There we have it. We've got Usman. We both got Merab. And we both got Costa. That's a sweep. I think we got a 3-0 coming down the alleyway. And that's just it. That's all I got. We got to a lot tonight. I'm happy about it. I don't really have much to say, to be honest. Just thank any, you know, anybody who listens. Shout out to Evan that called in. Appreciate that. Anybody who listens, including you, you know, anybody we interact with on Twitter. Nah. But I could see him in the listener queue. But yeah, anybody we talk to on Twitter, definitely add us on Twitter. Lean Keys, Real Talk, you know, definitely hit us up. That's all I got. I'm out. The floor is yours, bro. All
right, man. Hey, Evan, man, I'm sorry, bro, that we ain't get to you, man. Damn. I feel bad about that, Keys. But what I'll do is, Evan, me and you will talk probably sometime this week. And we'll probably work something out with me, and maybe me and you will do a space on Twitter, probably maybe Friday or Saturday going into the fights. But Keys, man, you have a good time at the wedding, bro. Keys, wedding season continues. Hey, I came up with a saying, like, I ain't going to say I came up with it, but I saw some and I loved it. And I'm going to start closing out our show with this. I think my man Keys liked it on Twitter. And I'm going to start closing our show out with it because I've been looking for something to close the show out with it since last year. Silence your doubters while making your haters work overtime. Lee and Keys signing out. As always, we end the show with a peace.